I have so many buttons to push. As long as I'm not pushing your buttons, I suppose. I have two announcements. First of all, Mario Hilton, those of you who frequent Domino's, is not well, and they are asking for prayers for him, okay? So we will do that. Second announcement is many of the people who served you this weekend are losing their jobs today. At the end of this conference, this facility closes November 22nd. The diocese, Detroit Archdiocese, can no longer support it. It's too heavily in debt. So it's going to be bought by the people who run all the facilities in the front. But if you could, I would just like both to pray for Mario, but also to pray. I was talking to one of the women this morning, and she said she has three small children at home, loses her job today. Her husband has a job, but it's just not sufficient. So she said, she said, I trust that God will do something. And I said, well, we would pray for her and for all of them here today that God will provide for them. So let's do that, and we'll also pray for Mario. Father, we come into your presence. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this day to love you and to serve you. And we ask, Lord, that in all our thoughts and words and actions today, we might give you praise and honor and glory. And we bring to you, Lord, these needs that we know and so many other needs. But we bring you especially Mario. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this saintly man who has served us so well. Lord, we ask that you would bless him, that you would bring him peace, and if it be your will, that you would heal him, fully restore him. Lord, we pray for all of the men and women who work in this facility who are losing their jobs. In this time, Lord, that is so difficult for so many, Lord, we ask your abundant mercy upon each one of them. We ask that you would bless them and provide for them. You are the worker of miracles, Lord. And we ask, Lord, not only that you would provide, but that they would know without a shadow of a doubt that it has come from your hand and that they would praise and glorify you. Lord, may glory and honor and praise be lifted to you from Detroit. In the middle of all of the difficulties of the city and the state, Lord, we just ask that praise and glory be lifted to you. May your full will be done, Lord. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I have one other announcement. I hope I have time for my talk, but do you see these? See these little, they're little booties that were just made by one of our sisters next Saturday. From 9:30 to 3:30, the Servants of God's Love will be hosting a bazaar at the barn next to Christ the King Church from 9:30 to 3:30. There are wonderfully good things to eat that you can take home and freeze for Thanksgiving if you would like. There's all kinds of very good sticky buns. And then there's all kinds of things that you might want to buy as Christmas gifts. There's jewelry that's made by these are all things made by the sisters, and the money that we make from that goes to the education of the children that we care for. So if you could patronize us, we would be very grateful, but you will be mightily blessed. These are sold already.
Are there prayers woven into those socks?
Are there prayers woven into the socks? Absolutely. Yeah, there are bigger sizes. All right, sisters, I don't have a long time this morning, and I have an awful lot to say. So as they say, fasten your seatbelts and hang on, because what I want to speak about this morning is, I think, the pivotal... They need to talk. I understand that they need to talk. No, it's okay, Sue. Sue's going to be at our Mass. The rite of invitation? Welcoming. The rite of welcoming in the first process of coming into the Catholic Church. That'll happen at our Mass this morning. So this is a wonderful thing to pray for. And hopefully Sue will soonly, listen to me, I better go back to bed and start over. But her full inclusion into the Catholic Church will be very soon. My mouth to God's ears, yeah, that's a good Jewish, yeah. All right, I'll remember that. But what I want to speak about in part is heaven this morning and the way to heaven. Because if you don't have a vision of where you're going, we can easily get sidetracked, downcast, discouraged, because the trials of life are many. And it's real easy. And it doesn't matter how young we are or how old we are, we need that vision of heaven. I'm going to tell you some things you've heard before. Going to say some things that are new, so listen up. There's an exam. Only it will be, it's a pass-fail exam, and it will be the blessed Son of God who will examine you. So, in 1995, I was very, very blessed to read an article in L'Osservatore Romano. And it was an article of the year that John Paul celebrated his 50th Jubilee celebration as a priest. And he had invited priests from all over the world to come and to join those who were ordained in the same year that he was, to come and join with him at St. Peter's to celebrate. And there was a priest, and some of you have heard this story before, there was a priest that John Paul asked to speak, to preach at the Vesper service that occurred the night before the Mass, the solemn Vesper service. And all of the priests, everyone, were gathered in St. Peter's. And Father Antoine Lully was the Jesuit priest from Albania who was asked to preach at that time. And he said, I wanted to say no. But he said, one cannot say no to the Pope. And so he began to preach. And what he did was he told his story of being ordained in 1945-46. 2 months after he was ordained, he was arrested by the communists. He spent from 1946 until 1989 in prison. Almost his entire priesthood was in prison. He was in solitary confinement for 17 of those years. He said on Christmas Eve of the first year he was imprisoned, they tied him outside in the frozen mountains in his country and beat him. And he survived for close to 40-some years in prison in all kinds of horrendous conditions. And he said, the day I was released in 1989, the day I was released, he said, I walked out into the streets and I met one of my torturers coming toward me on the opposite side of the street. He said he tried to turn away from me, but I went across the street to meet him. And he said, I embraced him and I told him that I forgave him. I forgave him for what he had done to me. I, who had been, in a certain sense, he said, robbed of my priesthood. And he said, and he quoted for us the passage that we know in Romans 8. And he quoted this in the presence of all the people who were there. If God is for us, who shall be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Who shall bring any a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Is it Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. And by that time, they said, every priest in that place, thousands of them were on their feet. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. They said there was a 5-minute standing ovation because here was a man who was preaching the living reality. He was living it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God if we make the choice for him. And that's what he did by his act of forgiveness. He had his eyes on the crown. He had his eyes on the eternal prize. And it enabled him to endure what, humanly speaking, we say we can't endure. I don't know why he didn't die. He said one Christmas Eve he had to crouch on frozen excrement in the mountains, where they stuffed him in an old latrine and just left him there. He suffered. But his heart was never imprisoned. That's the key. His heart was not imprisoned. His body was, but his heart was not. He was free. And brothers and sisters, sisters, the power of God is with us, that we too, in spite of whatever comes, whatever happens, whatever betrayals, whatever insults, whatever happens to us, our heart can remain free in Jesus Christ. It's possible. The choice is up to us. The choice is up to us. And Father Lully made the choice. John Paul came down from where he was sitting and just embraced him. men who knew, men who had suffered. This is our legacy. There are thousands, millions perhaps, who have gone before us, who are standing around the throne of God now, martyrs, saints, praising Him. And if they could speak to you today, they would say, it is worth it. It's worth it. Run the race. Run the race. Help one another when you want to give in or give up. When you want to say, this is too much. Lift your eyes and help one another to keep our eyes fixed on the prize that is to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If we choose, we have free will. But if we choose, the eternal prize is ours, yours and mine. I can't wait. St. Augustine said, it is when things are peaceful that people should harvest the Word of God for themselves and store it in the inner recesses of their hearts, as the ant stores the results of summer's labor in the cavities of its nest. There is a time to do this in the summer months, but winter will overtake us, the time of trouble, I mean. And unless we can find resources within ourselves, we will inevitably starve to death. It's Augustine. Pope Benedict, on life's journey, which is neither easy nor free of deception, you will meet difficulties and suffering, and at times you will be tempted to exclaim with the psalmist, I am severely afflicted. Ever feel that way? I am severely afflicted. When that happens, says Pope Benedict, when that happens, do not forget to add, as the psalmist did, give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. The loving presence of God through his word is the lamp that dispels the darkness of fear and lights up the path even when times are most difficult. That's why I'm talking about the Word of God. That's why I'm saying grab hold. Let the truth work in your heart. It does. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can penetrate and it can separate bone from marrow. That's how powerful the Word of God is. It will convict. We who have such easy access to the printed page can so lump it all together. And this word is different. And I want to urge you, because it's this word that enables you to keep the vision when times get very, very difficult. I want to share with you a couple of stories. The first one happened in Italy. It happened about 15 years ago. There was a young woman and a group of her friends who had gone to Medjugorje. And they had experienced the presence of God and the love of God. And they were very blessed by it. And as on their way home, they began to talk about what they would do with what they had learned and what they had heard. And they decided that some of them were musicians, and they had decided that they would do a CD of speaking and singing the Word of God. Just speak it and sing it. And that would be a way to bring the Word of God more into the hands of people. And so this one woman said, young woman, she was about 21, 22, she said, I knew that my uncle had the perfect voice. And so I went to my uncle and I asked him, would you be the narrator? Would you be the voice on this CD? And he said, yes, he would. To do it gratis, of course. And he said, yes, he would do it. And so they hired this, all the people and the studio, and it was expensive. And the morning that they came to record, her uncle became ill and could not go. And so they thought, well, could one of us read it? And she kept thinking to herself, but he could really read it. There's reading and then there's reading. And so she started to go. She was in an area where there were all kinds of recording studios and TV studios, etc. And so she went from door to door. Is there anybody here who's accustomed to speaking, who could narrate? And nobody seemed to be available at 9 o'clock in the morning to do that. And so she went into this one place and they had said, no, there wasn't anybody. And then this young executive came running down the stairs and he said, what do you need? And she said, she explained. And he said, well, I can do that for you. I've got 2 hours. I'll do it. So she brought him over. He was a Jew. He was agnostic. And she brought him over. And the first thing she asked him to read was Isaiah 52 and 53, which is the whole story of the suffering servant. It's the whole prophetic word of Christ. And so he was practicing and he was reading it. And she said, she looked over at him about 15 minutes later when they were getting ready. And she said, the tears were just rolling down his face. And she came over and she said, what's wrong? This honestly happened. And he said, who is this man? Who did this to him? And she said, it's Jesus. It's the prophetic word of the Christ. And he looked at her. And he was utterly astounded. So many years later now, just last year, he took his wife and his family to Medjugorje for about the 10th time. God totally converted his heart right there, just reading Isaiah 52 and 53, which he didn't even know who it was. There was something in his heart that enabled him to be ready. Something. Even though he looked like the least candidate. That CD has sold millions in Italy and in Europe. And here was a man who was being converted while he was reading. He knows where he's going now. And he wants his children to know. He had, at the time he read this, he was contemplating leaving his wife and child. He was tired of that life now, wanted to try something else. The power of God's word. But to know where you're going and to know the one who has made the way for you to get there is worth everything, sisters. The world doesn't talk about this. The world talks about making your paradise here on earth. And it fails and fails and fails again. It promises. It looks glittery at the beginning. And it fails. Because we were not made for here. We were made for heaven. We were made for union with God. That's what's in us. That's the desire. That's the hunger and thirst. Even though it takes all kinds of forms, we attach ourselves to things here on this earth that seemingly promise us. And there are good things on this earth, good blessings on this earth that God gives us, wonderful blessings. But we can't stop there. We need to get our eyes fixed on the life to come. Always looking. And how does what I'm doing here, how does who I'm associating with here, how does that help us all, not just me, but all of us, to draw closer to Him? God wants to give us, the Holy Spirit desires to give us what I call the eternal perspective. That the life I live, I'm living for eternity. I'm living for what is to come. Second story. Some of you have heard me tell this story. But you know that passage in Scripture comes from, I think it's 1 Corinthians. It's the passage where, this always happens to me. Sister Sarah can probably tell me right where it is. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, has not entered. Yeah, I have it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Paul is speaking about the true wisdom of God, and he said, "None of the rulers of this age understood, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him, God has revealed to us through the Spirit." It's the last part of that verse. We often hear, eye is not seeing, ear is not heard. What God has prepared for those who love Him, God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard. I love that passage. I say that to myself, you know, especially when my eyes are fixed on here. You know, remember what is ahead. It's beyond us. We can't, because we're talking about infinity, and we're finite. Everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end for us. And to imagine an eternity of happiness with no end, no mitigation, no lessening at all, is inconceivable. Somebody said to me once, well, I couldn't live if that were the case. And I went, ha ha, that's exactly right. You can't live here. It's too much for our mortal frame. I had a friend, as I said, some of you have heard this story before, but I had a friend, her name was Rose Totino. Do you ever see Mama Totino's frozen pizza? And that's the lady. She and her husband were a marvelous Catholic couple, and they lived in Minnesota, and they went bankrupt twice in trying to start a frozen pizza business back in the 1950s. You didn't know frozen pizza very much then. And they failed, and they went bankrupt. And life was pretty hard. And I won't go into all the details. They are some marvelous details, but I'll skip them in the interest of time. But this, they received called the small business loans that the government will give. I think it's like $25,000, something like that, to get you started. So they applied for that and were told that they would not get it because they had been bankrupt twice. Their rating wasn't very good at all. And so they wouldn't get it. And this woman said, I was out driving in the car and I heard a Protestant pastor on the radio say, make sure that God is in charge of everything in your life. Everything. So she said, I pulled off to the side of the road and said, Lord, if you will make this work, we promise you that everything from this business will be used for your glory and your honor. There's a church and a high school and all kinds of things in Minnesota that are very grateful to the Totinos today. But she made that promise, came home, and the check was in the mail. Unexpectedly, the check was in the mail. So Rose knew from the very beginning that God was in charge. And when Rose was dying of a heart condition in the hospital just several years ago, she kept saying, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man to conceive what God has prepared for those who love him." And she'd sit up in bed, this, her daughters told me, she'd sit up in bed and she'd say, "Do you see the light? Do you see the light?" "No, Mama." "Light? See it? Brilliant light." She went on that way, they said, for 3 days. There were doctors and nurses kneeling in her room because they had never seen someone die like this. And she kept saying, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard." And of course her daughters are weeping, her sons-in-law, you know. But they said there was, they half wanted to laugh, do you know, because there was just something so joyful about it. Well, on the third day, the last time, she said, she went through it again. "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man to conceive what God has prepared for those who love him." And she said to him again, "Do you see the light?" And they said, "No, Mama." And she said, "Next one up, bring my sunglasses." And she died. She died right then. Now that's it. That's the way to go. Next one up. She had a very bad heart condition. She was having a hard time breathing. But by golly, eye has not seen. And can't you see it? That's faith. That's faith. I don't know.
She got new eyes.
Yeah, she got new eyes. That's right. Don't, wherever you are in your life, begin to get a vision for heaven. It's not like a fantasy world that you escape to. That's not what I'm talking about. You embrace everything that this life asks of you and requires of you because it shapes you and makes you ready for heaven. Embrace it. Cling to it. But don't take your eyes from the prize. Don't take your eyes. And we do, you know, our heads are down. My mother used to say to me all the time, "Won't you stand up straight, you know? Stand up." But look up, you know, so often we're looking down. We're looking in. We're looking back. And the Lord is in front of us and wants to lead us. Oh dear, I'm sorry. Let me tell you two other very quick ones, I promise. I had a friend who died last February. And she was a very dear friend of mine. And she and her husband had 4 daughters. And when she died, they had 27 grandchildren. She had always, all her life, just pointed her children, pointed them toward the Lord, always. She was very, very faithful herself. And when she was dying, it was a very difficult death. Do you know what she did? Talk about a legacy. She asked for every one of her grandchildren to come into her hospital room one by one. She told them what their gifts were. She told them who they were and where they were going. She prayed over each one of them. Nobody knows how she did it. Lucid and clear, she talked to each one. I talked to a couple of her older grandchildren who were in their 20s, early 20s. And they said, what a legacy. It was so clear. It was so clear. She told me not to compare myself with someone else. She told me these were my gifts and my talents. She told me to run the race, to run it hard, that she would be waiting for me. That's it. That's faith. She trusted the Lord, and her grandchildren have an incredible gift. Do you believe? Do you know where you're going? You know, the catechism says this, if I can find it quickly. The catechism says this. I want to quote it exactly. Section 2794. I would urge you to take the catechism out and really start reading this. Heaven, the biblical expression, does not mean a place. It's not a place. That is a space. It is a way of being. This is, come with me. It's not a place because a place has limits. We're used to, we work within a time frame. We work within limits. That's all we know. Everything has limits. Heaven has no limits. It's infinite. This perfect life with the Holy Trinity, this communion of life and love with the Trinity, with the Virgin Mary, with the angels, and with all the blessed, is called heaven. It's life in God. It's what you were made for. It's union with God. That's what you were created for. That's why there are the gaps and the empty spaces and the poverty that we experience, because we're not in full union with the one who made us. And he left us with these things so that we would seek him, that we would seek union with him. Our problem is we try to fill them up now so that we don't have those longings and we don't have those yearnings. But they're there by God's purpose. And the only way they're going to be satisfied is in him. Heaven is the ultimate end and the fulfillment of the deepest human longings. It is the state of supreme, definitive happiness. Section 1024. Saint Cyprian said this, how great will your glory and happiness be to be allowed to see God, to be honored with sharing the joy of eternal salvation and eternal light with Christ your Lord and God, to delight in the joy of immortality in the kingdom of heaven with all of God's friends. That's Saint Cyprian. Don't try to wrap your mind around it too much, because you'll limit it. It's like diving into the deep end. You let go. It's not a place. It's a way of being. You will be fully who you were created to be. Fully. You are not fully created yet. But you will be fully who you were created to be when you are in union with God. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more death anymore. That's what we want. And that's what we were made for. It's not a longing, it's not a desire or a wish that will not be fulfilled. But as Paul says, if only we suffer with him, that we might rise with him. Get your eyes fixed on the prize, because it's yours. Everything you've longed for and everything you didn't even know that you needed will be there. I want to close with this. You can't see her picture very clearly. This is Chiara Bodano. She died in 1999. She was 19 years old. I'm sorry, she died in 1990. She was 19 years old. She experienced a very long and painful illness of bone cancer. Very, very difficult death. 2 years of this kind of suffering. And Pope Benedict, on the 3rd of July of this past year, has approved a decree to state that Chiara Bodano had practiced Christian virtue to a heroic degree and is now called venerable, 10 years after her death. Oh, a little longer than that, 19 years after her death. This is what she said. I'd love to just read you this whole article. She said to her friends, "Another world was waiting for me, and all I had to do was abandon myself to it. But now I feel as though I were wrapped in a splendid design, which little by little is unfolding itself to me. In the midst of horrendous pain," that's what she was seeing. She had her eyes on the prize. When she was 11 years old, she and her parents became part of the Focolare movement in Italy, which is devoted to unity, to living in unity. And her parents said a whole new life began for the three of us. They waited 11 years for her, and she was their only child. She died at 19. Her doctor, a non-believer and very critical of the church, was progressively and more deeply moved by the witness borne by her and by her parents. "Ever since I met Chiara, something has changed inside me. Here, in her life, there is consistency. Here, everything about Christianity fits into place." He was converted by her life. She said near the end, "Please don't give me the morphine that I need. It takes away my lucidity. And I have only my pain to offer the Lord. And I want to be able to do that." She said to her mother, "When you are preparing my body for burial, you must say over and over again, 'Now Chiara Luce is seeing Jesus. Please be happy because I am.'" She knew who she was and she knew where she was going. And she was ready to run the race to get there. She didn't let go of the prize. It's a beautiful young woman. This is who's gone before us. My friends, the friends I know, the friends you know. Chiara, she's venerable now. She'll probably be canonized. In the future, they said she practiced virtue to a heroic degree. She evangelized all her friends all the time. Went to every event she could still go to as long as she could. And she kept talking to them about what life was all about. Doesn't matter whether you're 19 or whether you're a grandmother and a great-grandmother, get your eyes fixed on the prize because it's yours. He died for you so that you could have it. It's yours. It's yours for the grasping. Don't let anything, life, death, principalities, powers, the challenges of everyday life, don't let them dissuade you. Don't let them take your eyes from the prize. Just remember Rose. When I'm tempted to, I hear Rose saying, "Can you see the light?" You know, and I'm tempted to say, "No, you know, I can't see the light right now." Do you see the light? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It has not entered into the heart of man to conceive. So as much as you can imagine, you'll still fall short. It has not entered into the heart of man to conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. Amy Basic is with us today, and I had the privilege of being with her as she sat by the bed of her husband when he died a few years ago. And his words to me were, "Don't worry about me. I know where I'm going. Please take care of my wife." He knew who he was, and he knew where he was going. God wants to give you and me that same level of faith and trust. Then suffering, though we still don't want it, the human condition will fight it. That's okay. Just tell God, "I hate this, but I'll embrace it for you." But it's through that burden, through that suffering, that he makes you ready for himself. May God bless us all, and may we all see one another right there. Together. Amen? Amen.
We're going to have a short break now to allow people to check out your rooms. Everyone should be totally checked out of your rooms beforehand. You can put your luggage in the fourth gospel room along the wall or in the back along the wall, just so it's out of the way, or down in the lobby area, or if you can't look into your cars, that'd be great. Some people might not have heard the very serious announcement before. Those skits should not appear on the